Hello and welcome to Dan and Imran's Monday Blues podcast.
This week we've got all songs that were made famous by other artists, but we're going to play you the originals that you may not have heard before. And first up, Dan, we've got a song that was made famous by Elvis.
Yeah, it's That's Alright, recorded in 1946 by Arthur Big Boy Crudup. Elvis covered it in 1954, which went on to become a defining moment in music history at some recording studios in Memphis, Tennessee. Sam Phillips, the guy in charge at Sun Records, said he was looking for a white man with a Negro sound and Negro feel. He said if he found that, he could go on to make $1 billion, and that wasn't that far from the truth.
Yeah, it wasn't far off.
People actually rang into radio stations when Elvis covered it, when it was played on mainstream radio in the 50s, and assumed he was a black man.
But here's the original by Big Boy Crudup, That's Alright.
Well, now that's alright, no mama. That's alright for you. That's alright, no mama. Any way you do, but that's alright. That's alright. That's alright now, mama. Any way you do. Well, my mama, she done told me. Papa told me too. The life you live inside now, women be the death for you. But that's alright.
That was Arthur Crudup with That's Alright Mama.
Yeah, so what happened to him after he released that song? Did he go on to more success? Or?
Well, he wasn't really a household name, I suppose. He did play with Elmore James and Sonny Boy Williamson II as well, all over the 30s, 40s and even 50s. But he stopped recording in the 1950s, as he said that he realised he was making everybody else rich and he was still poor. It's quite well documented that he had to work as a labourer and even took up bootlegging as well for a number of years. Dick Waterman, basically the man who's credited with rediscovering Sun House and Skip James, tried to help him get more money from the royalties, but eventually came to nothing.
That's quite similar to our next artist, Ann Cole, who recorded Got My Mojo Working first, a year before Muddy Waters did.
They played together, didn't they, or not?
Yeah, I think that's how he ended up hearing the song. So she toured with him in 1956, and one of the songs that he heard her play was Got My Mojo Working. He basically went back to Chess Records and recorded his own version where some of the lyrics he changed, but then released it with just crediting himself rather than her or the original writer, who was actually a white guy called Preston Foster, who was an actor and also a singer. There was then a lawsuit to try and designate the copyright, and it ended up going to Preston Foster, the original writer. But here's the first recording of it by Ann Cole, Got My Mojo Working.
So that was Ann Cole with Got My Mojo Working. I mean, as good as that version is, I'm still a sucker for the Muddy Waters one.
Yeah, I have to agree. I do love that version, but there's something about the Muddy Waters one. But the reason it's quite surprising it was written by just a white guy from New Jersey is because it refers to mojo, which is it originates in Africa. It's like a hoodoo amulet sort of charm. And you have different ones for wealth and love and stuff like that. So it's basically like a lucky amulet that believers in hoodoo would carry around.
Yeah, it's like they used to carry around rabbit feet and black cat bone, as it says in the song, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and next up we've got another big blues artist similar to Muddy Waters.
Yeah, we've got a song by Howlin' Wolf, obviously very well known, similar to Muddy Waters as you say, very well known blues maestro, one of my personal favourites, credited with many blues standards like Smokestack Lightning, Spoonful, Killing Floor, and the one we're going to play today, Backdoor Man. Quite an interesting character, Howlin' Wolf, 6'3", nearly 300 pounds. He said he couldn't yodel like Jimmy Rogers, so he took to howling. So Backdoor Man was written by Willie Dixon, and it was recorded at Chess Records in Chicago. It was recorded in 1960. It refers to, in Southern culture, the notion of a man who's having an affair with a woman on the side. and he's basically got to hot foot it out the back door before her husband comes home. It's been referred to in many blues songs a lot earlier in the 1920s and 30s, and in fact it's even present in Led Zeppelin's 1969 song Whole Lotta Love.
Yeah, so this version we're going to play is the original Howlin' Wolf version, but the version that most people might know is probably the Doors version, right?
Yeah, it's obviously quite a sexual song too, but it's brought to life by Jim Morrison's sort of persona and presence, I suppose.
So here it is, Backdoor Man, Howlin' Wolf.
So that was Howlin' Wolf with the absolute stonker Backdoor Man.
But now we're going even further back to an artist who's born, we're not exactly sure, but either in 1888 or 89, Leadbelly. This guy went to prison quite a few times in his lifetime.
I think he stabbed a fair few people.
Yeah, the first time I think was in 1918 for actually stabbing and killing one of his own family members. They had a fight over a woman, apparently. The second time was in 1930, again for attempted homicide, again stabbing. And that's where he was actually found by Alan Lomax and John Lomax, the sort of American folklorists who we spoke about last week a bit. And that's probably where they would have heard this song first.
Yeah, they first recorded Black Betty in a state prison in 1933, although he recorded it commercially in 1939 in New York.
So this song is best known by the 1977 version by Ram Jam. It's just like a more of a standard rock song.
Yeah, because as you'll hear, the Leadbelly original recording we're going to play is actually a cappella.
Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, oh Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, Black Betty, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, jump sturdy, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, jump sturdy, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, oh Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, oh Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, looky on a Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, looky on a Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, turn around, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, jump down, Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, oh Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, oh Black Betty, Bamba Lamb, Black Betty had a baby.
So that was Leadbelly with Black Betty.
Yep, so for our final track, we're going to end where we started with another song that Elvis covered.
Bit the King.
Yeah, probably one of his most famous songs, Hound Dog. This version we're going to play was recorded in 1953 by Big Mama Thornton. She was this huge woman. She's about 25 stone and very domineering, apparently, which sort of bucked the trend of women in sort of show business at
the
time.
But doesn't the song actually sort of refer to that?
Well, basically, it's about her kicking out a gigolo, basically, and calling him a hound dog, which is like a Southern American term for a guy who wants to be taken care of and treated by a woman, whereas she's not interested in any of that stuff. This song was written by two guys who were only 19 at the time, called Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. And even though when Elvis's version came out in 1956, they didn't really like it, they ended up writing for Elvis. And so even though the two writers made a lot of money subsequently, Big Mama Thornton herself didn't really see any of the royalties for it at all.
Yeah, it's quite a similar story to a lot of these blues artists who, for want of a better word, sort of been ripped off, I suppose, not really getting much recognition or even money from it.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, and all of the songs we played today and their cover versions will be available in the description below.
And here's Big Mama Thornton.
Feed you no more.